The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born with will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, it is excruciatingly appropriate that the problem with the sound that we have with echoes and reverberation and all of that stuff is happening today, because actually the theme for the text this morning have a lot to do with echoing, holy echoes. And they begin with David and Nathan and God. This amazing thing, David has defeated all of his enemies round about. He has brought peace to Israel, peace to the city of Jerusalem, the city of peace. And so he's sitting there and he's wondering what he should do next, and all of a sudden an idea hits him. I should make a house for God, because God's only in a tent. He's been living in a tent since the time of the Exodus. So David has this brilliant brainstorm, and he says to the prophet Nathan, "I'm going to build a house for God." And he says, Nathan, who is not one to mince words, if he didn't like it, he would have said, he says, "Do according to what your heart says." And so David says to God, "I am going to build you a house." God goes to Nathan, and God has other ideas. God is saying, "Hey, look, I don't need a house. I need a house? I've never asked for a house. I like tents. I'm sort of an outdoor kind of guy. I like being outside. No house for me, thank you." And Nathan tells David. But then God says something else to Nathan. God says, "Tell David, I will build you a house." And there's the echo. David says, "I will build you a house." God says, "I will build you a house." And interestingly, God does that, even though later on in the story we're going to know that the reason that God doesn't want David to build a house is because David was a man of war, and his hands were too stained with blood to build a house, a temple, a place of worship. It wasn't for him to do it. It would fall to his son Solomon. But God would build David a house. A house that begins with the house of Jacob and goes all the way through the history right down to David. And then from David all the way through history, and the throne of David continued, and the reign of David and the family, the kin, the people of David continue all the way to this young woman and her fiancé in Nazareth of Galilee, who have to go from there to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, another house, the house of bread. and it is there that the one who is to come will be born. And the one who is to come, who will sit on the throne of David, this one will show us what the throne of David really is, what God really intended for the throne of David, to make peace not by war against all of your enemies round about, but a house that is made out of self-giving. This Jesus who gives himself. It happens in a lot of ways. So I have a friend named Marta who was in seminary at Philadelphia. She and her husband Woody were Marta was a second career person, so she was in her 50s, I think, when she went to seminary. And she and her husband Woody became known as sort of the house of hospitality, the place where the younger seminarians could find a place if they need someone to talk to, a shoulder to cry on, some wisdom. That was the place to be. And so the story goes that Marta came home one day from a long day of work and at the seminary, and she was exhausted, and she had worked all the way through lunch, and she didn't have anything to eat all day. She comes home into the house, and she says to Woody, "You got anything to eat?" And Woody, who is a great cook, he says, "Do I have something to eat?" And he pulls out this beautiful plate that he had prepared for Marta. And it was so important to Marta that she remembered everything. It was a turkey burger on a bun. And it was green beans with almond slices. And it was a beautiful side salad with vinaigrette dressing. And a glass of wine. So she takes the plate, beautifully prepared. She takes the wine. She walks over to the dining table and sits down. And just as all of this is happening, up the street is walking this seminarian named Anne. And this seminarian is young, and she's struggling. She just got word that she wasn't able to get into the classes she needed. She wasn't even sure she should be at seminary. She wasn't sure of her calling. Her boyfriend had just broken up with her, and she was struggling with clinical depression. And she didn't know what to do or where to turn. She had heard about this couple that other students had talked about. So she made her way to the house. And as Marta was sitting down to her dinner, here comes Anne. And she doesn't even knock on the door. She just opens the doorknob and wanders into the house. And wanders in where Marta and Woody are sitting and sits down at the dining table with them. She could have said a lot of things. She could have said, "I'm struggling, I'm frustrated because I didn't get my classes. I don't really know if I'm supposed to be here. I don't really know my calling. My boyfriend just broke up with me, and I'm feeling depressed, and I'm really struggling with it." She could have said any of those things. Instead, she says, "You got anything to eat?" And in this divine echo, Marta hears this. And she hears not only Anne who's sitting there, but she hears back to Jesus telling his disciples, "You got anything to eat?" And she takes her beautifully prepared plate and she slides it across the table to Anne. And she takes the glass of wine and she slides it across to Anne. And in this echo, she not only hears Jesus in the past saying, "You got anything to eat?" But she also hears the echo of the liturgy. "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." And as she's sliding this plate across the table, Marta is also hearing the reverberation of those words and that echoing into her future. And she realizes in that moment, this is what she's for, to give people what they're hungry for. This is her calling. And so the divine echo takes this sort of mundane-looking thing and transforms it into this beautiful enlightenment of what you're for. The divine echo, it happens all the time. We are called to pay attention to it. It happens with Mary. There she is. She's the same. It's the same Mary, of course, who's going to be in Bethlehem, but now she's here in Nazareth, and she's getting a visit from this angel who is telling her all these crazy things. She's going to have a baby, and he's going to be great, and he's going to sit on the throne of David, and he's going to reign in the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end, and all of these things. And she's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait a minute. I am not married. I'm a virgin. How can this be? And the angel goes on with that, and this is how it's going to be. And the one inside of you will be called holy, the Son of God. And then Mary says, here am I. And in that here am I, you can just imagine, as soon as she says that, that the echo from God is, ah, here am I. And it's not a stretch to imagine that that is when the divine, the infinite, becomes finite and finds a dwelling place, a home in Mary. Here am I, Mary says. And here am I, says God. And thus, the incarnation that we are soon to celebrate, the nativity that we are soon to celebrate, begins. Here am I. What a great place to start, huh? All kinds of things. Here am I, frustrated that we have to do worship in these ways and that we can't always get it straight. Here am I, saddened that we can't gather in the ways that we would normally gather. Here am I, impatient for this siege that keeps coming at us. When is this going to be over? Here am I, finite and having to face my limitations in ways that I never really wanted to. Here am I. And yet, as I am saying that, the echo of God is also ringing forth. In your frustration, here am I. In your sadness, here am I. In your impatience, here am I. In your limitations, here am I. God is with us, and God will continue to be with us. And in a few minutes, we're going to celebrate the Eucharist, and I'm going to be in the front of the church, and you'll be able to hear me, and I may or may not be able to hear you, but I'm going to say at some point, I'm going to lift up this flimsy-looking wafer, and I'm going to say, this is the body of Christ. And the echo of that is going to be God, who is gathering up all of us who are scattered and isolated and not together in the ways we want to be. And God is going to gather up all of us, and God is going to say, this is the body of Christ. Yes, God will honor that Christ will be in that flimsy wafer. But more mysteriously still, God affirms that Christ, the body of Christ, is in this flimsy gathering of people who are literally hanging on by a phone thread. This is the body of Christ. And that echo resounds and reverberates in our hearts and in this world. And it fulfills the words in that beautiful hymn that Dane was singing. O come, O King of nations, come, O cornerstone that binds in one. Refresh the hearts that long for you. Restore the broken. Make us new. And then it is entirely appropriate to have an echo in the refrain. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to you, O house of Israel. O house of David. O house of Lake Chelan Lutheran Church. And will dwell with you and in you. Thanks be to God for the divine echo which rings out and will never be dampened. Amen.